Okay. So then everyone goes, oh, hold out. And still not in camp, practicing, game, 11 days away. Hey, John, has Juwan asked for a trade?
You know, a while ago he did. But that was just a long time ago, and we've moved on from that.
That was during camp, or was it before?
I'm not getting into when it was, but it, you know, was a while ago.
Now John...
Tim Kawakami with a great quick follow-up.
Pa-pow! And John's getting mad. Like, he's starting to get frustrated.
It was a while ago, and we're not getting into that.
Yeah.
And then he followed up with, we're not doing that. So second time I've jumped the sound. It's like it's my first day on radio.
It's good sound.
I can't wait to get to it because for me this was the cha-ching.
Well, totally. You see the staircase the hill that the Niners are falling down during this press conference.
Right.
All right, guys. It's like imagine John and Kyle in a huddle. All right. We're going to tell them.
It's the calf and
calf
stuff.
Calf is just not ready and stuff.
And then we need them in training camp and stuff.
Yeah, and so, like, there's a game in 11 days, and we'll just be like just shrug your shoulders a lot. Like,
and then you go with two things can be equally true and stuff.
And as soon as he does that, now people are asking about trades, and you can tell the Niners just like, oh, crap, it's not going well. Like, yes, he did ask for a trade, but it was a long time ago.
And Kawakami's so perfectly timed with, when did he ask for it, John?
Was this during camp?
Right.
And John's like, we're not going to talk about that. And then people are like, well, but so, because is it an active trade request?
No, he asked for it, and we've moved on. And we're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
Okay.
So we're not doing that, Tim. Yeah, and Eric and various Matts in the room.
So
and Jennifer's.
I don't want I always hesitate here, so I want to be sure I say this the right way. I'm not accusing Juwan Jennings of faking an injury at all. I don't know what's going on in his body. So yes, I have to allow for the possibility that there is still some sort of an injury he's dealing with.
Sure.
However, I would like to raise my hand right now. This is just me, no accusation, but I don't buy it. I don't buy it for a second. Your words don't add up. Last Saturday, Kyle Shanahan said he's definitely going to be ready for week one. He should be. That thing should be healed by now.
Should be.
Now we're 5 days later, and apparently it's not healed.
Well, they haven't done any imaging.
I would imagine that then something has changed, and you would image that thing again. Well, no, we don't really do that a whole lot, so we're just going to keep. And then he gives up and goes, so, yeah, there's also a contract stalemate. Well, is there a trade request? There was. But it's not active anymore. Why not? Because we're not doing that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we started here, all the way over to the right, and we ended up over here, all the way over to the left. Just my read. This is not an injury, in my opinion. This is a contract holdout. You've arrived at the end.
It's a hold-in.
Okay, hold-in, whatever.
It's a holdout.
It's a standoff. This is a contractual standoff. I think the Niners are frustrated. I think Juwan is out of chips, and there's a game in 11 days, and the Niners, every action they've taken in the last 48 hours is to build a receiving core that it can at least get through the first three games of the season without Juwan Jennings if they need to.
If they need to, and I do think that he has some sort of an injury, quote-unquote. I don't know how bad it is. Only he knows. If he had a contract that he loved, would he be in camp? Would he be practicing? I think he would.
I agree.
If it was the week of the NFC wild card game and you were getting ready to host, I don't know, Detroit, you happen to win the division and you're the four seed, whatever the seed is, you're going to be home and you got a playoff game coming up next weekend, he would be practicing. He would be padded up and he'd be ready to go, even if he's not at 100%. And I believe he's probably not at 100%, but who is at this point in their life, honestly, as an NFL player? So, yeah, it's more contract than it is the calf. And if you're Juwan Jennings, you've played this all the way up to this point in a certain way. And now with two new receivers coming to town and probably on the field, one of them's on the field right now, Russell Gage.
Yep.
Marquez Valdez-Scantling probably doesn't show up till later today, and he's on the field next time they practice. Yep. But more and more, Juwan Jennings is running out of time and options as far as, you know, exerting what he has as leverage.
I'm with the 707 on the Boxer and Gerson work injury attorneys text line. I'm with this text 100%. The best way to heal a calf is to rub some money on it.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree completely.
I don't know if Dr. Nirav Pandya would agree with that medical diagnosis.
Well, let's try. I bet you it would work in this case.
If he had a stack, one of those bands of $10,000, $10,000 worth of hundreds, and you go ahead and rub that on your Achilles or your calf, you're like, yeah, that feels much better. That's some new cash right there. My calf feels better.
So I don't want old money. I need some new money.
Right.
Well, they don't have any of that for you.
No, and he got the new money last year.
Yep.
So for the Niners, they're thinking, we gave you that new money. We gave you a nice bonus. We gave you cash up front. So, I don't know, how about you come in and play football? Yep. And if he doesn't want to, then they have no choice at this point but to find people who can be wide receivers a week from Sunday.
You just got a text from Doc Pandya.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It says, money helps calf injuries heal very quickly.
I love it.
Yeah. Thank you, Doc.
Confirmed.
Thank you for listening.
That's my kind of medical school.
707, you're right. Money absolutely heals calves. I don't know about hamstrings and concussions.
Sure.
But you rub that sucker on a calf, especially a calf injury that's just mysteriously lingering for a month, it goes away.
Hey, Doc, now that you're listening, does a roll of quarters work the same way? As a massage tool?
Now, how much money right? do you need to rub on the calf?
Roll of quarters is $10 now.
You're like, right? Do we need like $100?
Right.
Or do you need, I don't know, like $16 million? I don't know.
Well, I believe it's Mega Millions tonight is $815 million. So,
oh gosh, no one won on Monday.
No,
is it tonight?
It's tonight. I think it's Mega.
What's the deadline?
We're north of 800. I think 7 o'clock or 7:30. So you got time.
I got time.
Yeah,
I was like, I get in when it gets this high.
There's a liquor store here and where we park. Very friendly cashier.
I know that one, but I don't carry.
Duck in.
I know, but I don't carry cash.
I'll spot you a couple bucks.
Okay, would you?
Yeah, get the ticket, you win. I don't even want half.
No, I would have done that anyway.
Just break me off like 10 million.
I would have done that anyway. Yeah. I don't know about 10. We'll negotiate. But
if
anyway.
You win 8, you get 400. You can give me 10 for spotting you $2.
I could, but there's going to be a lot of hands out.
No doubt.
There's going to be a lot of people to feed now.
Dad, can I get you? Millions? Can I get some of those millions, Dad? I'm your firstborn, after all.
Dad, I'd like to go shopping. Can I have a million? Million five?
I don't yike how good your impressions are of my kids.
I don't have a Jude yet, but I still imagine him a little high pitch, but he's a sixth grader now. He's starting to drop it down.
Yeah, he's got a rasp.
Yeah.
He's got a rasp. All you have to do is just talk without taking a breath for about 22 minutes. Yeah, he's just like his dad.
Dad, can we buy the Red Zone? Can we buy the Red Zone channel? Can I have an NFL team?
Oh, gosh. Will you just keep handing me cash for 7 hours?
Totally.
Yeah, that's probably what he would say. Anyway. Yeah, like I don't even know what to feel at this point. I think Juwan Jennings has been a wonderful Niner. And I want him on the field, and I think he's important, and I still don't know exactly what he's asking for. I don't know if he's asking for some guarantees this year or if he's asking for a long-term contract extension at big money, and those things all affect what my opinion is on it. So I still don't want to do sides on who's right, Juwan and the Niners. I'll just assess it this way. Juwan is out of chips. Like, I don't know what it is he's supposed to do. Like, with 11 days left to go, what exactly can Juwan do that will be helpful, productive, a winning play for him? What is it? Like, well, for me, I would have been at practice today.
Right. It's like a boxing match, and he's entering the 10th round, and he's behind on the cards 7-2. So even if he wins the 10th, 11th, and 12th, he still loses the decision. It's a unanimous decision. You lose. The only way he can come back in this bout is to get a knockout blow. And unfortunately, the knockout blow would be Valdez-Scantling pulls a hammy, Russell Gage does something else, and the Niners get to a point where it's like, oh, God, we're back in this spot. Javon, we need you more than we thought we needed you 2 days ago.
Maybe.
He's in a spot now where it's just basically over.
But if he's asking for a long-term extension, I still think the Niners would just be like, nope, we'll just keep patchworking this week to week until DeMarcus gets back and Brandon gets back. And
right.
Et cetera, et cetera, Jordan Watkins. Like, I do think they're not going to do a long-term deal for Juwan. It doesn't make sense for them.
I don't think they're going to do any deal. And just based on John's comments, and you played four or five different ones, I didn't hear anything that was even hinting at, you know, we're working through it.
Nope.
And,
nope.
You know, we've met with his agent, and, you know, we feel like we're close. There was none of that.
There was no optimism.
No, it was all about the calf, and it was all about, you know, the cold situation.
Yeah. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll keep taking your Niner calls. We're going to do a wide receiver-based higher or lower later on this hour. Looking forward to that. But coming up next, and on YouTube, Brandon Pajemski joins us live because, as you know, he is America's number one Valkyries superfan correspondent. And he will join us next, as he does every Wednesday on Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Will and Dibby on 95.7 The Game.
It's that time.
It's that time.
Yeah, man, Wednesdays are good, man. And we get to catch up every week with our guy, our Valkyries super fan correspondent, just also happens to play for the Warriors. That's none other than Brandon Pajemski, who's on the River Islands guest line. He's also on YouTube. Pods, what's good, man? How you doing?
I'm well, guys. How we doing?
Well, we're wearing Valkyrie jerseys right now. I don't know if you can see us yet, Pods. We're in Valks jerseys right now as we speak.
Yeah, I can see both of you.
Yeah, we're fired up, man.
Oh yeah,
we're like we look like you at a game right now.
Yeah, I mean, you got to collect them all, just like me.
But I know this is our first.
That's it,
and we're just starting the process, and a good time for it, man. Like, that was a big win in their last game, as they try to hang in this playoff chase, and then two home games this weekend. Are you going to be here for this weekend?
I will not be. Finishing up here in Orlando before I go back to Milwaukee, actually, for a couple of days to see my family one more time before I'm on Cali for good.
Love it. Can't wait to have you out here, because when you get here, it means that the season is coming up. And you mentioned that we need to get all the jerseys, but right now that means we only need to get eight jerseys because the Valks are only rocking with eight players. What do you make of the effort that they've put out winning games with only three coming off the bench?
I think it's terrific. Obviously, the starters are playing heavy minutes. Everybody's putting their best foot forward and trying to do whatever it takes for wins, stepping up, doing things, you know, a lot of people didn't expect. From each individual, but collectively we're just putting together good efforts. Obviously, I lost three in a row, so that game in Dallas was really critical that we got, and we did. And so we got two opportunities with right behind us in Washington, and then the Fever, I think, right there with us too. So two good opportunities this weekend.
Pods, we talked about Veronica Burton last week, and she's just doing it again. So consistent. Her last game, 25 points, 13 assists. And I wonder, you know, a guy like you, a couple years into the league, that's kind of the thing, right? It's not just achieving a great game, but like to consistently be able to do that every night. What is that process like for you, for her, for every basketball player?
Yeah, I think everything comes with time, but, you know, opportunity and confidence in the game of basketball are two really strong words. And the impact that has on a player and an individual is super kind of out of this world. You know, anybody that has the supreme confidence in themselves, but also they get that same feeling from their teammates and opportunities there. You see it all the time in the NBA when guys go down and bench a play, you see guys that are like, wow, I like this from them. And so those two things are super powerful, and that's what, you know, Veronica's been able to do with the Golden State Valkyries this year, and that's why, you know, she's more than well-deserving for Most Improved Player of the Year.
What's that like? And you know, you kind of went through it, although you immediately came in with swag and confidence. But as your rookie year went on, what's that feeling like of not only feeling like you belong, but getting that same faith in you from your teammates?
Yeah, it's a different feeling. It's something you only can feel when you're in the moment. You're experiencing it live. Obviously, it's a very good feeling, especially if you're on a veteran-led team with Hall of Famers like I was. And so that just kind of breeds you confidence. But I think for me, the moment I really got the most confidence and that I'm carrying into next year is just that game five that we had that we lost. And it just kind of showed that I could really hang on that level in the playoffs with Steph being out. And so that really gave me confidence. That's the only game from last year. And so I'm just really trying to just build off that and not look back.
Valkyries Superfan Correspondent Pods is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Hey, a six-day layoff leading into a five-game homestand. One, are you jealous? And two, this time of year, is that a good thing, or can that knock you out of sync?
I mean, obviously, with our team, it's probably a good thing. Obviously, we were playing with eight ladies last game, so hopefully some of the other ones can get healthy and we can get back to full health and full strength as much as we can. But I think it's solid time at home. Get to be where your body's at, your mind is at rest, and you know that you're going to be home for a while. So that's always a good thing. But it's a big, you know, homestand for us. And we go back on the road, I think, to Seattle and Minnesota to finish it up. So to be able to get as many as we can at home, playing some high-quality opponents at home will be key for us.
Seven games left, game and a half lead. When you get down to crunch time, really, in a season, what do you do as a player to try to calm the nerves and just, you know, focus on the moment at hand?
Yeah, it's kind of experienced that with the game seven in Houston. It's like all hands on deck. What can we do to win? What can each individual do? How do we collectively come together, unite as one, and just put everything we got on the table? And I think that's just the mindset that I know Natalie is going to have. So I'm excited to see what these last couple of games look like for them until the playoffs start.
Speaking of Natalie, Coach Nakase, you know, was asked about Coach of the Year possibilities. Everybody's been impressed by this team in their first year to have a winning record and battle for the playoffs. Take a listen to what she had to say, and then we'd love to kind of get your reaction to it. Here it is.
No one really cares, honestly. I mean, I'm just being dead honest. Like, our goal is to make the playoffs. Okay, yeah. That's our goal. But when I actually to think about it, it should be coaching staff of the year. I'm not doing the scouting on my own. I'm not doing the player development on my own. You know, I'm not doing the film work where they have to individually do it with their players. I'm not doing this on my own. So it shouldn't be coach of the year. It should be coaching staff of the year.
Well, especially when you add in that you were the one responsible for Veronica Bird being on the team, Pods. I think she's talking about you.
I mean, she's 100% right in terms of, like, it's not just her. Everybody that you see on the front of the bench, behind the bench, and even some people that you don't get to see at all as a fan. The amount of work that goes into a successful organization is crazy. I know that just from our side of things, from the Warriors, how many people we have that, you know, travel with us on the road, that help us with analytics, numbers, all that kind of stuff that people don't see. There's, you know, always a place for them in terms of where the success lies. And so for Natalie to be Coach of the Year, I think she's absolutely deserving of that. But she's 100% right. There's so many other pieces that go into play when it comes to a successful team and organization that we don't. But she's 100% right with that.
And this is your chance to lobby for Natalie and the staff to get the award. Just how good have they been? You've been up close and personal. How deserving is the staff of getting that award? It's my go-to line. I had to throw it out there.
I guess we did, huh?
Perhaps.
Okay.
We'll get him back.
We'll try to get Brandon Pajamski back.
Didn't think that was too tough a question.
No. I'm seeing it on YouTube. It's frozen pods.
Ah. Yeah. Frozen peas.
Frozen pods.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
peas in a pod.
Pods froze up on YouTube. So
it's all right.
We'll see if we can get him back.
It is a little weird. You mentioned it, 6 days off, and then.
Oh, okay.
I mean, you play Saturday, Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, just almost like a bye week.
Guess what? you get to reboot that thing and do it again. Pods is back. Go ahead and re-ask
your
question.
No longer frozen. We got thawed pods. I just was asking Pods about Natalie Nicasi and her staff, and I'm just saying you got a chance to lobby. Is she, in your mind, coach of the year?
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, people are going to look at me and say I'm biased because obviously I played for the Warriors, but when you look at just what she's done in her first year, obviously the most wins ever by an expansion franchise, leading them into the playoffs, something that we've never, ever seen before in WNBA history. And so I just think just based off that alone, you know, with the group of people we have, she's done a fantastic job. Obviously, we only had one All-Star in Kayla, and she's been out since the All-Star break. And so to see essentially a bunch of role players from previous years come together and be able to beat top teams in the league, it's just super impressive. And I know it's the players out there playing, but good coaching and stuff like that comes apart with that.
BP, I think we're at such an interesting time for women's basketball, and so many of you, Steph, and many others, have been so supportive of the women's game, and obviously they're at an interesting time as it gains popularity. The players are in need of more. Like there's new visibility, new fans, all of this, and so it's maybe, I don't know if this is the right word, but a challenging time for the WNBA, for the players and the structure of the league to kind of be on the same page. There are threats of where this, like, you know, is there going to be an agreement? You're such a supporter of the players. I wonder what is your response to the message that they are trying to get out there to the public?
Yeah, I think obviously they want to be paid what their value is, and that's anybody in any sport, you know, male or female. I think they're doing it in a way that they feel is right, and whatever way that looks like, that's how they feel, and that's what they think is right. But for me, it's just like whatever their value is, that's what they should be given. It's the same for us. Whatever our value is, that's what we should be given. I'm proud in the fact that they're standing up for what they believe in and, you know, not just caving in. But I think, like you said, as the league keeps expanding, the teams are more and more, there's going to be more players in the WNBA because of the teams growing. I think it's just has nothing but room to grow and increase in value and worth. And so I think it will be reflected as such when it comes to the money for the players.
Got to be a little bit more of a challenge for the WNBA in that there aren't as many comps. Like, you're in a league where, you know, as good as you are, there are players who are kind of equal to you, and you can gauge your value based on that. And in the WNBA, they're breaking new ground. So how much of a challenge is it going to be for them in the winter when you get into this off season and try to actually get what they have coming to them?
Yeah, that's a fair point. It's really hard to tell just because, like you said, you can't really compare apples to apples in a sense of contract and value. And so I think there just got to be, you know, a starting point, whether it's going to be too high or too low. You're going to see the Asia Wilsons and the Fisa Kyers get that top dollar, and then there'll be a trickle-down effect from there. And so I think you just got to start somewhere. It's probably not going to be the perfect, but you got to start somewhere and then, you know, let the seeds fall how they may. But I think that's how it's going to happen. That's probably the only way to do it. People are going to agree. People are going to disagree. But you got to start somewhere.
Pods, our Valkyrie superfan correspondent with us every single week right here on Willard and Dibbs 95.7 The Game. And then we also do one big Warriors question before Pods leaves us, and then we start getting ready for next week. Pods, I want to ask you this, and in no way are either of us trying to put you in any kind of a spot. I get sort of how sensitive in some sort of a way, at least from a media perspective, this offseason has been. But the Warriors have made no transactions, and the world has sort of turned this into some sort of a standoff between your teammate Jonathan Kuminga and the squad. And I just wonder from a teammate's perspective, because, right, you're a Warrior, that's your teammate. What's your perspective on all of this? How do you go about kind of processing all of this?
Yeah, I think obviously everybody on our team knows it's the media's job to try to nitpick and find things to write and talk about and, you know, separate, you know, teammates, so they have a story to write. Like, we all know that's how it works, especially the guys that have been around it for, you know, 10 to 15 years. They know how it works. But I think everybody in the locker room knows, no matter how that situation is resolved, it doesn't change, you know, our viewpoint of JK as a person, as a player. Obviously, we all want him to be in Golden State. That's the whole point. But that doesn't change anything. Obviously, like you said, the media is going to portray it one way to try to make people think differently of it. But it doesn't change my perspective. I know all I can control is being the best version of Brandon Podziemski that I can be going into my third year. And everything else is going to fall how it may. But that's just my focus, is how can I be the best version to, you know, help Steph, Jimmy, Dre, guys that you know aren't going to be able to play all 82 games this year. How do we find ways to win those games so that way we're not fighting an uphill battle like we were last year after we got Jimmy?
And that's a great perspective. And I just wonder if you have eyes on what took place this offseason, knowing that after next year you'll be in that after your third year extension zone. Are you keeping an eye on the different offseason across the league this year?
I mean, no. Obviously, my whole goal is to, you know, be a Warriors for as long as I can. So whatever other teams are doing, that's fine. I know where I want to be, and that's in a Warriors uniform. And so, like I said, all I can control is what this year looks like for me. And so that's been the main focus. I learned from the playoffs what I need to get better at and what flaws I had exposed during that series. And so that's just been my main focus, and it will continue to be. When that contract time comes, it will be handled as such. But you can't, you know, count your chickens before they hatch. So just focusing on getting better.
Pods, good stuff,
awesome.
Man. Yeah, really good stuff. And so best of luck with the continued workouts and then your subsequent travels on your way back west, man. Thank you so much.
Cool, guys. Thanks. Appreciate you. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Yep. There he goes. Brandon Podziemski, Valkyries super fan correspondent. The Valks with a big win to snap a three-game losing streak, then a break, and then a five-game homestand that starts this weekend with games both Saturday and Sunday, which are going to be key. They've got to play well at home. Only, I think, is it eight games left?
It's seven.
Seven games left on the whole schedule.
Seven games.
Tickets if you want to go this weekend for the next home game versus the Washington Mystics, a team I'm not going to say should beat, a team that they should have a nice chance to beat.
They should beat them.
They should, right? They're better. They're better than Washington.
But they've got eight players.
Right, right. And now they get this break. So anyway, Valkyries.com, tickets available if you'd like to go this weekend to the game.
Saturday, Sunday, then Tuesday, Thursday. So when we have pods again, they will have played three times. There'll be four to go, and we'll have a better idea about where they sit in the playoff picture. And Pods is already talking about, you know, we're going to be a playoff team, and they have a game and a half lead. Nothing's guaranteed. If you go 5-2 over the next seven, yeah, you're a lock. You're absolutely getting in. 4-3, I like their chances, but having a little bit of a depleted roster and, you know, back-to-back this weekend, Saturday, Sunday, and as I mentioned, Tuesday, Thursday. So the games are starting to come in rapid succession.
Well, and Indiana is here on Sunday. Is she playing? What's the latest on Caitlin? Is she playing this weekend?
She did not play last night, and she's been out for more than a month.
Yeah, she's
say this about their jerseys last night, and I was telling Lucas, you probably don't watch the show Stranger Things.
I do not.
It was a Netflix phenomenon.
Is it a football game?
It's about...
Okay, then no, I don't watch it.
It's about a group of kids in Indiana who come across creatures from the underworld.
Okay.
Fantastically done, but the Fever rock jerseys using the Stranger Things logo, basically.
Oh, that's
and
fine.
The jerseys were fire last
okay.
night.
I love that.
But Caitlin was
she
in the streets. No.
Okay, so at best, she's going to be questionable for this weekend. But Washington, very beatable. Indiana and the Valkyries are pretty close. And if she's not playing, you do have three games. New York and Minnesota twice are really, really difficult games. You do have a home game next week against Dallas. That's the worst team in the WNBA. So, yeah, you got to figure, I don't know, if they win the games that you would expect them to win,
yep.
I think they got a good shot to get in, which
yep.
would be unbelievable.
Yeah, even if you get in as the eight and, you know, you wind up in a tough spot, the only wrinkle potentially is, and I was looking at the WNBA playoffs, they actually changed it this year, where it's one game in the top seed, game two is at the lower seed.
Oh, it is.
And then game three is back at the higher seed.
Oh, I see that as a good thing for this year's Valkyries.
It's good and it's bad because I do believe that Chase Center is going to be busy on the night where the Valks would host game two. So they're already looking at potential other locations to have that home game in the playoffs.
Are you reporting this? You've heard this? Or you're just guessing?
No, I've heard it and I've read it. I believe there's a tennis event that is already pre-booked into Chase Center for the dates that would be possibly a conflict.
The league's got to be able to maneuver that playoff series around a little bit. There's got to be a way.
Interesting you say that.
That would be, okay, that would be a disaster.
It would be a disappointment.
I feel like this has become, let's be real, like I understand that they're not the best team in the WNBA, but they're the highest valued franchise. They've sold out every game. They have hit a grand slam with every single possible way they could as an initial franchise. If they then make the playoffs, you're not going to give them their home game in their arena? You can't. Figure it out. You can't.
Can I read a statement from the Valkyries?
Yeah, please.
Due to Chase Center hosting Laver Cup, a global tennis tournament which was booked prior to Golden State's acquisition of the Golden State Valkyries, we are navigating potential venue impacts if the Valkyries were to make a historic playoff run in their inaugural season. Our primary goal is to ensure the best possible experience for our fans and athletes. At this point, with so much uncertainty in potential playoff seeding and playoff game dates, we do not yet know what, if any, impact this will have on Valkyries' home games. According to the Chronicle, the Valkyries are considering three arenas as options in the event they can't host
at
Chase Center.
Come on, Cal Palace.
Oakland Arena, former
obviously.
Oracle Arena,
yep, yep.
Golden One in Sacramento,
no.
And San Jose's SAP Center.
The order is obviously Oakland, San Jose, Sacramento.
I didn't hear
Sacramento.
The Cal Palace, yeah. Which is a little disappointing.
You cannot go to Sacramento. They won't fill it. I'm sorry. Like, you can't do it. Do not do that. And San Jose, that you might. Oakland Arena is the obvious choice.
Yep.
But I would also push forward and be like, how long is the Laver Cup is how many days? Do we know? How many days is that event?
It is, well, it's an international tennis tournament,
sure.
which tells me that it's multiple days. One thing that I actually did read about this, and well done, Grandy, with the statement.
It's the 19th, 20th, and 21st of September.
And
gotta be able to work
additionally, because this is the first time that Chase Center is hosting tennis, the setup and the teardown is more arduous
right,
than it would be.
It.
Like, if you've done concerts, and they now have for years,
sure.
It's a little bit quicker. And I think you and I were doing a show during one of the teardowns, and you could see the way they go about it. It's methodical. It takes time. But when you're going from tennis, which you've never held before, at Chase, that becomes more of a difficult setup and subsequent teardown.
Yeah, very good.
You're welcome.
I get it. Like, who would have known?
I get that you get it.
No, but I mean, first of all, who would have known that they were going to get a team and all of that, and then they get a team, and then who would have known that they would have been this good this fast, and then who would have known the WNBA would change the playoff structure, and then who would have known, and who would have known, and who would have known. But,
right.
But
Laver Cup calls, and you're like, yeah, we'll do the tennis.
Sure.
Three more days of cha-ching!
If you're the league, you got to be able to... 3 days? You got to be able to work around.
Two words for you.
What?
Cal Palace. Come on, let's bring it back to the Palace.
That game's got to be a chance.
That's where the Warriors played their first NBA Finals. What's wrong with the Palace?
No. The Sephora signs are already all over Chase. We got to have that game. We got to figure this out.
Get in first, and then we can talk about it.
That's fine, but playing it in Sacramento, that's going to be a no from me, dog. Okay?
Old Kezar holds about 600. Quaint little gym.
The Pit at San Mateo High School.
Let's do it.
Now we're talking. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. All right, we got a lot of stuff. We'll reboot all of the Kyle and John sound from today. Dibs has got a fancy Jerry Rice wide receiver-based higher or lower to play. And oh, by the way, we should, for at least 2 minutes, we should react to what Pods just said about both his future and Jonathan Kuminga. So all of that is coming up next. 888-957-9570. This is Willard and Dibs.
Now, back.
to Willard and Dibs.
What do you think's going to happen in this game, Sting?
That's a great. I think it's going to be a really tight game.
On 95.7, The Game.
That's great.
Every time I hear it, I'm actually so thankful he didn't finish. Because it's not. It's not a great question at all.
Most of yours aren't.
What do you think's going to happen?
That's a great.
That's a pretty stock question, is what that is.
Totally. By the way, how you doing, Steve?
I mean, what kind of question is that?
I mean, just a very simplistic one. I have an update.
An update?
For every human being. Not every human being. Every human being in California and many other places, but not all places.
Okay, I'm excited.
I have an update. The jackpot for tonight's Powerball has climbed to $850 million.
Major bag alert. $850 million.
So, yes. Tim Kawakami is reporting that Juwan Jennings was seen at a local 7-Eleven trying to see if he can restructure his contractual situation by simply winning Powerball.
Possibly.
$850 million.
Powerball. Boom, bum, bum, ba-dum, bum. And it will climb even higher. It may not get all the way to 900 by
right.
the time they
no, it'll climb.
They the balls drop, so to speak.
Now, my favorite article that I've ever seen on the World Wide Web has just popped up on my feed. This is from the Courier Post in New Jersey, which is also a Powerball state.
Right.
Here's the headline. And this is from earlier today, prior to them updating the jackpot to 850, they knew that as soon as someone didn't win Monday, it was at $815 million.
Yep.
Powerball jackpot, this is the headline, I'm not kidding. Powerball jackpot reaches $815 million. Here's what you could buy if you win. I'm like, the answer is anything.
Everything.
Like, what on earth? I mean, what the hell can you not buy if you win almost $1 billion?
Well, there's taxes, if you get $850 million, you can buy 425 million donuts if they're $2 a pop.
You can't buy the Golden State Warriors.
You could buy a piece. You could be involved. You put a down payment.
You could pay the A's payroll for 7 years.
Dude, Matt, everyone's like, yeah, very good.
Thank you.
Magic Johnson's part owner of the Dodgers, right? He put 50 mil in. Whoever wins tonight is like, whatever. Yeah. Give me third base over there at Dodger Stadium. No problem.
What did Buster Posey buy of the Giants?
I don't know.
He probably didn't drop $450 million in.
No.
He's like, hey, Larry, here's $5 million. Call me an owner. Let me run this S.
This article is like, you could purchase the Hope Diamond, which is estimated at $350 million as of a year ago. So you could do that. Then it says the average. Boy, hey, Californians, you ready to get sick? Listen to this.
You could buy a house.
Listen to this. The average price of a house in New Jersey is... What do you think it is?
Probably $417,000.
$569,000. With the Powerball money, you could buy 1,430 medium houses in the state.
It's a lot of houses.
Or two here in California. You can get a couple.
You can get a couple.
I think you can get a couple of those. Some like nice ones. You know what I mean? Like 5 bedrooms. Upstairs. Master bedroom. A view. All that stuff.
All of it.
Maybe even a pool.
45 states are involved in Powerball.
Who are the five that aren't?
Plus D.C., Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Nice. Yeah, who are the five that are... What the hell are they doing?
Just a quick scan. I'm just trying to see. They're just listing the ones who are.
Okay.
And I'm not seeing Hawaii. And I'm not seeing Alaska. That's a quick two right there. One of those churchy states is probably not involved, I would imagine.
Alabama, Alaska, Hawaii, Nevada, and Utah.
Nevada. We don't believe in gambling. But we'll play Keno.
Like Utah, we should have guessed. Utah is, I don't even know how many different nations away from the world Utah is.
You can't even get a drink without buying food Stein, I've told the story before. Steiny and I went to see his former radio partner, O'Connell, in a UFC fight. And we're bar hopping. We're pre-partying before the event. And we had so much chips and salsa. Every time you go to a place, we're like, yeah, let's get a couple of beers. You need to order some food. What's your cheapest item? Chips and salsa for $2.25.
All right.
More chips.
Bring on the chips.
I'm going to eat it.
Either that or pretzels and queso.
Oh, my gosh.
The pretzels at Splash yesterday were
The pretzels and queso
phenomenal.
Were really good.
Yeah. I'm going to eat it.
I got my hands.
Let's drink.
I got my hands slapped by the lovely Christy on that one. Because she, it was just a bunch of dudes at a fantasy draft. So she didn't think that I was allowed to take the pretzel bites and just dip it straight into the cheese vat.
Right.
I'm like, yeah, I am. It's a pretzel bite. It's one bite. I'm not double dipping.
Yeah, it's fair.
I don't need to get a bowl and stick it in the bowl and then carry it around. No. Into the vat, into the mouth. That's what we're doing. And that's what we did.
And you're relying on these strangers who are now our friends not double dipping themselves, because then you become a dipper after the double dip.
I don't even know how
a
you
a dipper could. After the fact.
Right. Fade the dippers.
Pretty good. These bites are so small. That
you couldn't do it. If you did that.
But you could do a nibble.
Right, I'd be more mad at the way you would look eating it. You just take a little, and then.
Right.
No, not possible. Too small.
Yeah.
You pop but that delicious. Thing in your mouth, and then you go for a walk.
That's right.
Come back, get another one. That's how it works. All right. 888-957-9570 is the number. All guests. On 95.7 The Game, appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands and Lathrop will get you the John Lynch sound. Going through the journey of watching John Lynch start with Juwan Jennings is hurt and then end the interview with, we're not doing that, is quite amusing. I find it. I find it quite amusing. Real quick, though, what'd you think of what Pod said about Jonathan Kuminga? He did throw in there, we all really, really want him to be on the team. And then, of course, you know, I have mixed feelings about this when he's kind of like, we all know the media's job. The media's job is to divide us and, you know, have something to click on and have a story. It's like, I get it. If I were a player, I would feel the same way. At the same time, let's not act like there's no fire here. There's smoke here. There's sure. fire here. Like, this is not being made up.
He still is unsigned.
Correct.
I mean, he signed the qualifying offer, so I guess he is technically signed. But this story is still a story, and all roads lead back to Kuminga. Brandon, I'm sorry, but that's where they lead. It's like the yellow brick road going, we're off to see the Wizard. We're off to see Kuminga.
I mean, the entire offseason is frozen like Pods on YouTube.
Not bad.
Honestly. So I don't take issue with the way he said it at all. But I also think that there's a lot here. There's a lot here to work through. But Pods, you know, says, yeah, everybody here wants Jonathan to be on the team. The funny thing is the one person who I think doesn't want Jonathan to be on the team is Jonathan.
Could be, yep. But he may not have another option, and it's a little bit like Juwan Jennings in a different sort of way, where Juwan wanted to be traded, and you heard John Lynch today say, we're not doing that.
Right.
So, okay, that's that. And the Warriors haven't yet said, we're not doing that, but for the past month, there have been no new rumors about possible Sacramento Kings packages or the Phoenix Suns finding a way to make it happen or the Dark Horse Bulls emerging as a third team out of nowhere. You've heard nothing of late, right, about a possible sign and trade.
No.
So it's all but Dunleavy saying, we're not doing that.
The only thing I've heard about the sign and trade stuff is that the Warriors firmly do not want to discuss the idea of trading Buddy Hield or Moses Moody. And those guys would probably need to be involved in the stuff that we've heard publicly. And they're like, no, we want more 3-point shooting options, not less. So we're not doing that.
Exactly. So, and that's where the similarities are. And, you know, Juwan Jennings is closer to his drop dead date, which you mentioned was today. You wanted to see him at practice today. And for me, it's, you know, kind of you get through the weekend and you get ready for a Monday practice ramping up for a Sunday game, you're going to need Juwan. And it feels like they're bracing for the fact that he may not be ready on Monday.
No doubt. So we'll get to that here. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.